And now, your hosts for Life from the Pulpit, here's Nick Perez.
Hey, yo. You can't stop it. You can only hope to contain it. The fastest half-hour podcast in the West. This is Live from the Pulpit. Coming to you live and local from deep in the heart of the San Joaquin Valley, deep in the heart of Merced Church of Christ. I am your guide on this excursion into theology. Another Century Matters, the voice of the valley. Nick Perez offering up news and views you can use on Scripture and society with a little help from my friends. Greetings. Welcome to the program. Glad you tuned in. Did I ever tell you about the time I got kicked out of a Baptist church? I say kicked out. I wasn't really kicked out, you know, with bouncers and all that. I was told not to come back. That's what it was. Yeah, April of 2013 is when this took place. Why I remember that, I don't know, but I do. We got a flyer on our door from the local Baptist church, which I'm not going to tell you which Baptist church, but at any rate, the local Baptist church, they put a flyer on our front door. They were advertising that they were going to have a revival in April of 2013. And also an open house that followed the week after. And so the revival meeting was running from Sunday to Wednesday or something like that. Well, you know, I'm busy Sundays. I was busy Wednesday, and also I had something Monday, but I can't remember what it was. But the Tuesday evening service of the revival, I could make that, and so I showed up for it. I sat through their piano-accompanied singing, endured that. I listened respectfully to the pastor that they had flown in all the way from North Carolina. And then, you know, services were over. I talked with some folks, engaged them in conversation, just discussion, nothing heavy, just talking, just conversing. I met a nice young couple. They had a little baby girl. They told me, the couple did, they were saved in October and that they were baptized in March. Anyway, I met the local pastor. I met some other folks, and then I left. No big whoop dog. You know, no big deal. Just showed up, made some connections. Well, it just so happened that the following week, we were having our gospel meeting. This was April. Maybe that's why I remember it. We had Phil Sanders out from In Search of the Lord's Way, hat tip. And whenever we do, ours runs from Sunday to Tuesday, and then we suspend Wednesday evening service. We don't meet Wednesday night, go somewhere else. And so I decided I'm going to go follow up with some of those folks at the Baptist church. And so I did. I went for their Wednesday evening service. I got there. I once again endured their piano during their singing. Why do you need it? I don't understand that. Why would we need that? It's just noise. But anyway, I listened to the pastor, not the one from North Carolina, the one that's there, the local pastor. I listened to him butcher Revelation chapter 12. Never said a word. Never asked a question. Nothing. I sat there respectfully and listened. And once again, following service, I engaged in conversation. I talked with several people. The couple that I had met previously, they were there. He was, but then he bounced like 15 minutes into it. He skipped out. I don't know where he went, so I went to his wife. I said, hey, where'd your husband run off to? Oh, he had mixed martial arts practice. There's a local mixed martial arts studio relatively close to where this Baptist church is, but Anyway, I was like, well, okay, uh-huh. And I gave her my card, and I asked her, would you pass this on to your husband? Have him give me a call if he would. I'd like to talk with him. She said, okay. Let your yes be yes and your no, no, right? Okay. As I'm leaving, I got to talk to a guy named Domingo. Domingo, we were outside the building at this time. He was a high-energy, older Hispanic man. A lot of energy. He'd been saved 20 years ago in prison, and now here he was serving the Lord. And after about 15 minutes, here comes the associate pastor. The associate pastor comes up. He's a younger guy, probably around my age. And we talk, we converse, we talk about kids. He had a couple. We talk about where he went to school, someplace out of Florida, same as the local pastor went to. He said he was from the South, from Atlanta specifically, and that he and his wife had been here in Merced since the fall of 2011, coming up on 2 years at the time. They were looking to plant a church in Madera, and they were going to do that the next year, so that'd be this year when they were looking to do that. And he asked the obligatory question to me, where do you attend? And I said, well, I'm a member of the local Church of Christ. And Church of God? I said, no, Church of Christ. He asked how long I've been attending. I said I was born and raised in the church. He told me he was born and raised in the Fundamental Baptist Church. I may have just tipped my hand there, but that's all right. It was a King James only. That's basically your Fundamental Baptist. And so the playing field was set, so to speak, right? The air was cold, cool. And so I dove in. And I asked him, I just wanted to know, I said, as respectfully as I could, I said, you know, we in the Church of Christ, we say baptism's essential for salvation, but I'm assuming you guys don't believe it's essential for salvation. Why not? I probably worded it nicer than that, but that was essentially the question. Mind you, Domingo, my new buddy, hasn't left. He's standing right there during this entire conversation. It was perfect. And so the associate pastor starts. He mentions Romans 10, 9 and 10. That's sort of a classic text for our Baptist friends when it comes to salvation. That's the text wherein the Apostle Paul says that if we confess with our mouth Jesus is Lord, believe in our heart that God raised him from the dead, you will be saved. For with the heart one believes and is justified, and with the mouth one confesses and is saved. And so I asked, well, what do you do with Mark chapter 16, verse 16, where Jesus says, whoever believes and is baptized shall be saved? He never really answered that question. He instead started to say, well, Scripture can't contradict itself. I was like, right. And he went into covenant theology and you know, kind of got high-centered on that. Finally, I mentioned Acts 22, 16. You know, I said, that's where Paul is told by Ananias, now what are you waiting for? Get up, be baptized, and wash your sins away, calling on his name. And he asks something like if Paul was saved on the road to Damascus, you know, something about that. And I said, well, actually Saul of Tarsus was 3 days and nights in prayer and fasting. But his sins were not forgiven until he was obedient to the command of God through Ananias to be immersed. That's what Acts 22:16 says. And I connected it right back to Romans 10 and verse 12, just a couple verses later, where it says, verse 13, everyone who calls the name of the Lord will be saved. The question is, how does one call upon the name of the Lord? Which Acts 22:16 explains. It's by immersion for the forgiveness of sins. Your sins are washed away. That's when you call upon the name of the Lord for salvation. And at this point, the associate pastor looked at me, and I kid you not, he said, well, I don't agree with that. there you have it. I said, okay. But it was all very respectful. Neither he nor I got heated. We just discussed, and we happened to disagree. But Domingo heard every word, and I'm confident some seeds were planted. He was not in the right direction, at least. I went to that Baptist church because I'd been preaching on evangelism. I'd taken as my text Luke chapter 5, where Jesus tells Peter, you know, to get in the boat and cast his nets on the other side and that sort of stuff. I called it going fishing. We go fishing when we do evangelism. And so this was a fishing trip. That's how I pictured it. It was a great fishing trip, I thought. I went home feeling great. Contacts were made. Contact info had been distributed. I gave my card to the associate pastor as well. I told him I enjoyed talking with him. He should give me a call. We should get together sometime. It was good times. He even said he would. Let your yes be yes and your no no. That's going to come into play here in just a moment. It's good times. Thought it went well. And then about an hour later, my phone starts ringing. My cell phone rings. 209 area code. Who could it be? And I answer just like I typically do. Hello, this is Nick. And to my surprise, the lead pastor is on the other end. He wants to know why I'm handing out my business card to his members. I said, well, I made some friends and thought we made some good connections there, made some friends, that's all. To which he says that I was being disrespectful. He said it isn't cool that I'm poaching members from him. I told him it's disrespectful of you to automatically assume my motives are ulterior. You know, I'm a friendly guy. I made some new friends. He says, well, don't you have friends at your church? Notice the language there, your. That was his word, your church. Not my church, but anyway. I told him I had several, but since we didn't have service, I wanted to make some new friends. He had he'd got my number from one of my business cards. Apparently, either the associate pastor or maybe the lady of the guy that I wanted to talk to, maybe they gave the card. Someone gave him my card, and oh, by the way, they never talked to me again. They never called me or anything. So much for letting your yes be yes and your no, no. But anyway, he said, after, you know, what I told him, you know, I have several friends, but we suspended service. I want to make new friends. He said, how would you feel if I came to your church and did what you did here? I said, we'd love to have you. Come on over. And he says something like, you know, he respects me more than that to do that or something. I don't know. I was thinking you're a respecter of persons. But anyway, hands the call by respectfully asking me to never come back to his church again. Yes, that's right. You heard me. He told me never come back again. And that's hand on the Bible truth right there, okay? I said, I'm not allowed to come to your church? How respectful is that? He says, well, you were disrespectful first, something like that. I said, blacklisted, huh? That's unfortunate. I said, I thought I was respectful in my conversations. I wasn't impolite, nor did I seek to offend. I thought that, you know, the people I talked to, they were all cool people. The associate pastor, he was a cool guy. I hope you would tell them that for me, but you probably won't. And anyway, the phone call was ended. Blacklisted from the Baptist church and told never come back. So I am persona non grata. He told me, and I found out this, you can't do this, you know, if I'm not being disruptive or anything like that. He told me he would call the police. If I stepped foot on premises again, he was going to call the police for disrupting. There's this total bogus, total baloney, Baptist baloney. Anyway, so I am persona non grata now at the Baptist church. And I figure, you know what? It's a small move by a small man. He literally is short. He's probably self-conscious. He's He didn't even want to talk about doctrine. That's, you know, he doesn't have self-confidence in that. He doesn't want me talking to the members of his church. He obviously thinks that his congregation lacks confidence in their biblical literacy. Why else get mad and blacklist a guy just for talking to people? And mind you, the only person I really spoke to about beliefs was the associate pastor. And that conversation I thought was a good one. At least I thought so. So that's the story of how yours truly, the voice of the valley, Nick Perez, was blacklisted from the local Baptist church. You take it in stride. You know, that's, you know, it. And here's the other thing. You know, they're not really closing the door to me. They're saying no to Jesus, right? I mean, if they're disrespecting me or they're turning away me or whatever. When truth is on your side, though, you really don't have anything to worry about. I showed up. I presented truth in a non-official way. And, you know, they didn't want it. Psalm 25, verse 5, lead me in your truth and teach me, for you are the God of my salvation, for I wait for you all the day long. Psalm 145, verse 18, the Lord is near to all who call on him, to all who call on him in truth. Again, when truth is on your side, you don't have anything to worry about. That's the reason I said, come on over, dude, because I have full confidence in my brethren here, that they are biblically solid, they are on a solid foundation, and they would probably welcome the conversation. I welcome it. I gave the associate pastor my card, said, give me a call, let's talk some more. I'd love to do that. But apparently he didn't want to, for whatever reason. But again, they're not rejecting me. They are ultimately rejecting Christ. Luke 9 and verse 5. Wherever they do not receive you, when you leave that town, shake off the dust from your feet as a testimony against them. I've shaken the dust off my feet from this place. They don't want me there. Okay. That's their loss. But again, just, you know, the audacity. You know what? It's also indicative of the fact that is his church. Remember that language that he used there about my church? It's not my church. Let's be perfectly clear about this. The name on the front says whose church it is. The Church of Christ. It's Christ's church. Christ's church here in Merced, of which I just happen to be a member. But that Baptist church down the road, that's his church. That's not the Lord's church. You see, if it were the Lord's church, there's nothing to worry about when it comes to engaging in a discussion with truth. We'll welcome truth. Welcome conversations. I mean, that's what it's all about. We're seeking truth. We should be able to do that together, but you didn't want to. So I became his enemy because I told him the truth. Because I tell, Jesus says, John 8:45, because I tell the truth, you do not believe me. I'm starting to understand what you're saying there, Jesus. I'm coming a little closer to that. He says in the very next verse, if I tell the truth, why do you not believe me? That's the question I asked after that phone call. Why don't they? I'm sure there are a number of reasons, but hey, I became their enemy because I told them the truth. And again, one more thing about truth. I sought to do what Ephesians 4, verse 15 says to do. Contextually, this is a body context, but in a more general application, if you will, where Paul says that we are to speak the truth in love. And verse, a little later on, verse 25, we are to speak the truth with our neighbors. And again, contextually, those are body verses, body context. But here's the thing. Two things stand out to me here. Number one, especially Ephesians 4:15, truth must be spoken. You see, this is the way we avoid error. This is the way to preserve others from error. And that's in opposition to the human cunning and craftiness and deceitful schemes of verse 14 in Ephesians 4. To the trick and the art and the fraud and the cunning and the deception. Christians are to speak the simple truth, nothing but the truth. Again, we're simply following in the footsteps of our master. Now, the second thing that's clear here is that truth not only must be spoken, but truth must be spoken in love. Of course, there are other ways of speaking truth. Sometimes it's spoken in a harsh, crabby, sour manner. And that does nothing but disgust and offend. But when we state truth to others, it should be with love in our souls and with a sincere desire to do good to them. When we admonish a brother of his faults, it should not be in a harsh, unfeeling manner, but in love. And again, in a more broad sense, when we engage people in a search for truth, it must be in love as well. It should not be done in a harsh or repulsive manner. It should not be done in such a way that we're rejoicing that people are in danger of eternity away from God. It shouldn't be like we're trying to pass final sentence and final judgment on someone. It should not be with indifference. It should not be with a tone of superiority. I can only speak for myself when I say I sought to abandon all of those things and simply present the truth in love to those that I talk to. Truth was spoken. It was spoken in a manner which I believe was loving. Did my best not to offend. But, when you start speaking truth, don't be surprised if you get blacklisted from places. Don't be surprised if people tune out or if they turn off. Ever happened to you? It happened to me. I was blacklisted from the local Baptist church. Persona non grata. Don't come back, Jack. Because if you do, we'll call the police and get you booted out of here. More in a moment. First, this half hour brought to you by Amp Energy Drink. Infused with guarana and ginseng, AMP gets you focused and ready for everything in life every day. Loaded with an energizing blend of B vitamins, AMP is exactly what you need to keep you connected and on top of your game always. Stop by your local convenience or grocery store and AMP up. All sponsors here are fake, by the way. You already know that. If you've been following along for any time, you know this is all one big joke. Now, on to the question of the day segment.
And now it's time for the question of the day. This is the question of the day on Life from the Pulpit.
What's wrong with the Baptist Church? What's wrong with the Baptist Church? What's your deal? Why do you have a big issue with the Baptist Church? Well, you know, my experience with the Baptist Church, though limited, I did find most of the people there friendly. I found them very amiable, congenial. And so, you know, there was a measure of acceptance. And I appreciate the biblical stand that a lot of devout Baptists will take. But I do remain tentative and cautious about a number of their doctrines. Baptists will generally speak of the authority of Scripture, and that's good. And while they do that, though, I don't believe that they can be considered in the same vein as us in terms of restoring simple New Testament Christianity in search of a biblical pattern by which to live and worship. Again, I appreciate a lot of what the Baptist Church stands for. I mean, we're not talking different languages about Jesus or about Scripture and the authority of Scripture, but there are some key distinctions in doctrines which, again, I am tentative and cautious when it comes to the Baptist. For one, most Baptists are convinced and convicted in the doctrine of once saved, always saved. Once you are saved, then you are saved as long, forever, to the uttermost. And there's nothing you can do to fall away from that. That's a lingering consequence, a lingering holdover of Calvinism. And yet Paul affirms what Baptist teaching does not, and that is that you can fall from grace. A person who is saved can turn away from Christ and be severed from Christ. Galatians 5 and verse 4 is a pretty key text in that discussion, where Paul says, you are severed from Christ, you who would be justified by the law, you have fallen away from grace. Once saved, always saved doesn't teach that. At least doesn't teach like that, I should say. Another thing, you know, that Baptists, they're known for, I mean, it's in their name, Baptists. They're known for immersing people. And they immerse people, but they immerse believers. And just like my friend that I made over at the Baptist church, who said he was saved in October but baptized in March, you can be saved independent from baptism. Baptism is really just a means by which you enter into the Baptist church, not into Christ himself. But that has no bearing in Scripture whatsoever, that you're saved into Christ at one point and then you're baptized into the church at another. All of that takes place at the same time. You're united with Christ in baptism. You are added to the church when you are baptized. Romans 6, verses 3 through 6, 1 Corinthians chapter 12 talks about how we are baptized into one body, into the church. And, of course, baptism does save, not the removal of dirt from the body, but appeal of good conscience to God, 1 Peter 3:21. Baptists trace their roots to John the Baptist. We trace our roots to Jesus Christ. He is the foundation upon which the church is built, not some other. Even John the Baptist said, there's another one coming. His name's Jesus. I'm not even worthy to untie his sandals. So, again, there are a lot of characteristics of our Baptist friends which are admirable, but it just seems to me that there are some key doctrines and key tenets of the faith that we should have issue with. And so, hence the call to restore simple New Testament Christianity. That's what we plea. That's our plea. I'm out of time. Feel free to leave a comment on the website. Always like to hear what you have to say. Search Facebook, Life from the Pulpit. Subscribe, like the Facebook page. You'll get all the updates when I go live with a podcast. Update the blog or post a new video on YouTube. Speaking of YouTube, search YouTube, Life from the Pulpit. TV on YouTube. Subscribe to it. You'll see all the Question of the Day segments there. Follow me on Twitter, at InPulpit, at the letter N as in Nick, Pulpit, P-U-L-P-I-T. Be sure and start with the Life from the Pulpit blog, L-I-F-E from the pulpit.wordpress.com. All of my commentary there on Luke, James, 1st, 2nd, 3rd, John, and now Philippians, all available, all free for you to use and peruse in your everyday Bible study. Now on iTunes, search the iTunes store. Download all the episodes to your particular iDevice. You'll never be more than a click away from an episode of the podcast. Check out Merced Church of Christ website, mercedchurchofchrist.org, mercedchurchofchrist.org. Plenty of sermon audio and other tools to help you in your daily walk with the Lord. And as always, brethren, grace be with you all. Thanks for listening.